We at the First Pentecostal Church of God would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We are praying for this message to encourage you and strengthen you for His service. May God richly bless you as you listen.
Isaiah chapter number 41 and beginning in verse number 10, the Bible said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And now skipping down to verse number 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." In verse 14, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, any men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And I want to draw your attention tonight, verse number 10. We find this little phrase, "I will help thee." In verse number 13, we find the phrase, "I will help thee." And verse number 14, we find the phrase, "I will help thee." I want to preach the Lord to help us tonight on this thought of "I will help thee." Father, we love you. Now, thank you for love, mercy, goodness, the opportunity you give us to come together in the house of God. Father, now we stand in our need of Holy Ghost anointing. Ask the Lord to set my soul ablaze in a flame for to preach thy word and thy word alone. And hear and our hearts receive. Deal with every heart, every life, every soul. Move as we gather around these altars tonight, and we give you the praise and the glory and the power and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach a little while tonight simply on this thought of "I will help thee." Not once, not twice, but three times the Bible declares. We don't want a dry sermon. Amen. So we're going to wet her down. Praise God. Not once, not twice, but three times in the reading of our text tonight, God declares this: "I will help thee." He said, no, you didn't get it. You're not getting this. "I will help thee." You're still not getting it. "I will help thee." So three times, and you know what's interesting tonight is we look in the Word of God, let me put it this way. Has anybody ever had a teenager? Has any? The teenagers weren't like, "What are you going to say about me?" Have any of you ever been a teenager? Have you ever noticed that sometimes, sorry teenagers, I've got two of them, but sometimes you end up telling teenagers more than once? "If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, you know. And the reason we have to tell them more than once, it's just the way it is because we got to try to get it through their thick heads. Huh? Can I tell you why God repeated himself, not once, not twice, but he said three times, "I will help thee, I will help thee, I will help thee"? I'm going to tell you why. He's trying to get it through your thick head, amen. God said, "Listen, I want to help you." Hallelujah. I don't know what 2014 is going to hold, but I can tell you this, you're going to need God's help, amen. If you're going to make it to this time next year, you're going to need the help of God. You will not make it without the help of God. You need his help tonight. So God said, "I will help thee." Now, before we can get there, I got to hold on a second. We got to wet this thing down. Praise God. Thank God for dry, warm weather. You say warm? Yes. Sunday it was 5 degrees where I was. So this is wonderful. Hallelujah. But anyway, before we get to this preaching part, let me lay some groundwork. The Bible tells us from whence comes our help. But how many of you know the Bible also tells us where our help doesn't come from? I'm going to look there quickly. The Bible tells us, first of all, that you and I, as the children of God, as a matter of fact, the Bible just tells us in general that you and I are not going to find any help in our life, any help for us. There is no help for you and I in this world. That's what the Bible declares. The Bible said this. The Bible puts it like this in Isaiah chapter 31 and 1. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." The Bible says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. I haven't got time to go there, but in the Word of God, whenever you see Egypt, Egypt is always a type of the world. So it's always a type of the world. They were delivered out of Egypt, brought out of that world, out of that bondage. You know, there is no help for you in Egypt. There's no help for you in this world. This world cannot help you. I know we think, and I'm just come to tell you, this world can't help you. Now don't get mad at Brother Man. I'm thankful for people trying to help other folks, and I'm thankful for philanthropic ideologies and philanthropic philosophies and even philanthropic attitudes. But I've got news for you. They can't help you. I'm glad for organizations trying to get folks off drugs and alcohol because folks need to get off drugs and alcohol. But they'll admit themselves that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. I've got news for you. We don't need that kind of help. We need a help that says, I used to be an alcoholic, but God set me free. Hallelujah. This world cannot help you, friend. There's no help for you in this world. This world is so good at helping. How come we got so many jails? This world's so good at helping. How come we got so many hospitals and orphanages and insane asylums? Why? This world can't help you, friend. It cannot help you. There's no help for you in this world. Hold on, I see this coming on me. This world can't help you. Second thing, not only does the world not help you, but how many of you know the Bible tells us there's no help for you in the flesh? Woo, shout now. You hold on a little bit. We'll shout in a minute. But there's no help in this world. The second thing the Bible says, there's no help in the flesh. The Bible said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. You hear that? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. You understand tonight, when you begin to trust in the flesh, you're cursed. I'm just telling you what the book said. Don't get mad at me. Talk to the author. Amen. I'm just telling you, God said that flesh is cursed. And you begin to lean on the flesh, you'll be cursed. Oh, Lord have mercy. You want to know why much of the church world today is cursed? I'll tell you why. She's leaned on the arm of flesh. And there is no help for you in the arm of flesh. Flesh cannot help you. Flesh cannot build the church. Flesh cannot save your relatives. Flesh cannot bring you deliverance. There's no help for you in the flesh. If you, friend, give into the flesh and live by the flesh, the Bible said, hear the works. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the Bible says is going to happen if you look to the flesh for your help. Here's the kind of help you're going to get from the flesh. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and here's what they are. It says they're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. I don't need that kind of help. Amen. I said, I don't need that kind of help. But that's what the flesh will produce in your life. And if you live by the flesh and look to the flesh for your help, that's what's going to be produced in your life. So tonight I've just come to tell you there's no help for you in the world, and there's no help for you in the flesh. Third thing. I'm looking for the ladies here. I need some ladies to shout amen real loud on this. Men, don't just hear me out now. But how many of you understand there's no help for you in the world, there's no help for you in the flesh, and there's not even any help for you in your own might? Now, men, we kind of have a hard time with this one, you know. Yeah. You know. Huh? I can do that, you know. Why, Pastor? I'll pick up the entire platform all by myself, put it in the back of my truck, and I don't need no help. Now, let me just stop right here. In the natural, that's good. In the natural, that's good. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to stand behind this so if you throw something at me, it don't hit me. I'll just be honest with you because we're raising too many sissy boys in the church today. I want some boys that if they can't lift the whole platform, at least they think they can. Amen. You understand? At least I could put that on my back, or at least they think they can. You understand that they're men. I want young men to be men, not sissy boys, but men. So that was for free. But if we're not careful, men, sometimes that can ebb over into our spiritual life. Well, I tell you what, I'll pick me up by my spiritual boots and you and everybody else, and we'll just have revival. How many know it doesn't work that way? There's not even any help for you and I spiritually in our own might. Because the Bible said it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. There's no help tonight for you in your own might. It's got to be in Him. The last thing, and then we're going to get on to preaching. This is the introduction. So how many know tonight there's not even any help for you in religion? I said, there's not even any help for you in religion. How many know this world's, the answer to this world is not religion. Because how many know this world's got enough religion? Everywhere you turn, it's got religion. If religion could help, this world would be helped. Because, I mean, we got all kinds of religion. Everybody's religious. Oh, don't get mad at Brother Man, but let me just tell you what the book says. How many of you know religious folks go to hell? Only those been born again going to heaven. I said, only those been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ are going to glory. Amen. Jesus didn't say you must be religious. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. There's no help for you, friend, in religion. Here's what Jesus looked at the religious of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes. He looked at them. They were the upper echelon of religiosity. I mean, don't get mad at me, board members, but they were board members. They were deacons. You don't understand. They were the big dog. You understand? Woohoo. They the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus, you know what Jesus told them? Jesus looked at them and he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Oh, and he said, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte or convert, to make one proselyte. And when you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're not going to find any help in religion tonight. If you've come to this church saying, I need to find some help in religion, there is no help for you in religion. You say, preacher, I'm feeling pretty helpless. You're telling me there's no help for me in this world? That's right. You're telling me there's no help for me in my flesh? Yeah, that's right. You're telling me there's no help for me in my own might? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And you're telling me there's no help for me in religion? That's what I'm telling you. Well, then I'm feeling kind of helpless. Good. Because you've got to understand something, that our help does not come from these places. Our help does not come from the flesh and ourself and religion, all these things. No, the Bible is very clear. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And church, can I tell you, it's time you and I get back to realizing that the help we need, it comes from God. It comes from God. Our help, by the Bible said, our help is in the Lord. Happy is the people that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Can I tell you tonight, God is our help. Oh, what does it say? God is our help and God is our refuge and God is our strength. Tonight, God said, I will help thee. Hallelujah. You see, he just want to let you know we're helpless without God. I said we're helpless without God. You don't understand. You're helpless. Do you understand? Your heart doesn't beat again except for his grace and mercy. He said, I'm going to help you. All right, let's get to preaching now. Amen. No help for you in those things. Let's talk about help. So God said, I will help thee. Now, when the Lord said, I will help thee, can I tell you what he meant? He meant, I will help thee. Funny. God says what he means and he means what he says. Amen. He said, I will help thee. Hallelujah. I will help thee. And when he said, I'll help thee, you know what he was saying? He was saying, first of all, he said, I have the ability to help you. I am able to help you. Oh, can I just remind you, church? Can I just remind you tonight that we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can I just remind you that he's still the Alpha and the Omega? He's still the beginning and the end. He's still the first and the last. There is still none like him. He is still high and lifted up. And tonight he is able. He's able. He's able. The Bible said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I've got news. God's able. God's able, God's able. Well, preacher, I just don't. I don't care what you know or not. I'm telling you, he's able. He's able. The Bible tells us that those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Oh, hallelujah. He's able. The Bible puts it like this. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Let me stop here. Can I give you a little Greek lesson? I don't know about that. Good, your pastor's training you good. But anyway, but in the Greek, that word all, when Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, that Greek word for all, what it really means is all. That's right. Just what the book said it means, amen. When Jesus said all power, he didn't mean some power, most power, a lot of power, a bunch of power. It was not synecdotal, but when he said all power in heaven and earth, you know what he meant? He meant all power in heaven and earth. Can I tell you, he's able. I said he's able, he's able, he's able. He's able to help you tonight. Hallelujah, he is able. You know, we're living in the day of specialization. You know, the days of the general practicing doctor about gone. You know, you go way back, you know, we're kind of in the West here. Thank God. But anyway, you know, I was raised in the gold rush country of California. Those little towns there, you know, you read history about those things. And back in those days, there was one guy, he was a doctor. And a lot of times he was also the veterinarian. And he was also the undertaker. And he was the preacher. And, you know, I mean, he, and sometimes the sheriff. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, he did it, one guy, he did it all. Amen. But how many know that that's not the case any longer? As a matter of fact, even your general practicing doctors, those are pretty much going by the wayside. Why? Because you got to be a specialist. You know, you've got your cardiologist and your anesthesiologist and your neurologist and your ear, nose, and throat nosologist. You know, you got your whatever that is. You got your podiatrist, you got your pediatrics, you've got your sports medicine. Don't even go there unless you play sports. I mean, you know, you've got, I mean, specialists, and you go in, they got their credentials. I specialist, you know. We were in Brooklyn, preaching in Brooklyn some years ago, and we saw this sign, and every year since, I try to look for it. But we were coming back to church one afternoon, and we stopped at a stoplight, and there, you know, on the front of the building, right across the light there, was a big sign, big brown sign. And on this end, it had a foot, just a foot. And on this end, it had some smiling teeth. And it said, dental and foot care. Yeah. The pastor I was with said, isn't that kind of putting your foot in your mouth? but dental and foot care. And I'm thinking, I hope he washed those things before he got done with your, well, anyway, you understand. You know, in other words, he specialized in here and here and nothing else in between. Your knee aches, don't go to that place, wrong place. You understand? He doesn't have the credentials for it. What are you getting at, preacher? Can I just remind you of his credentials? David said, my help cometh from the Lord. Oh, yeah, my help cometh from the Lord. And let me give you his credentials. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Can I tell you tonight, if he could speak and everything that he is came into existence, he can take care of you tonight. He can take care of you. My help comes from the Lord. The one that said, let there be light. And there was light. The one that said, let the plants grow even before the sun came. You understand that? Read it. Have you no plants got here before the sun got here? Explain that one in photosynthesis. Hey, but anyway, that same God. Go read Genesis. They're like, really? Yeah, it did. He's got to go preach till 2015. But anyway, first of all, God's able. When he said, I will help thee, he meant, I'm able to help you. And the second thing he said is, not only am I able to help you, but you got to get like a water bottle holder or something. It's been no skill. Decoration ladies, and I know better than that because they're also the ones that make the pies. But anyway, no, I didn't. When he said, I'll help him, and I'm able, I have the ability to help you. And the second thing he was saying is, I also have the authority to help you. Not only am I able, not only do I have the ability, oh, but I also have the authority to help you. Hallelujah. Can I tell you tonight, God's got the authority. Have you ever been someplace? And I don't know. I'm trying to think which I'm in. What state I'm in? I've been in so many of this. Arizona. Okay. Yep, Denny's out here. Denny's. Okay. Okay. You know, steak and shakes you don't have out here. Freddie, you know this. But anyway, okay. You go into Denny's. You get your hamburger, you order that hamburger. And you know you wanted that thing well done. And your hamburger comes and you take a bite of it, and that patty starts crawling off the plate. You're like, ah! And so you being very Christian and nice and tactful and, you know, respectful, you know, your waitress comes by and you say, you know, ma'am, I needed this well done. And I took a bite of this hamburger and it hollered out. So can we, you know, cook it a little bit more? Would that be okay? And I don't know, maybe she just had one of those days. She's just, I mean, just in a bad, you know, just she's had about, you know, just one of the days, you know. And she looks at you, just eat it! So you know what you do? You say, can I talk to your manager? Can I talk to your supervisor? Can I talk to somebody that's got the authority to cook this hamburger? You understand? Somebody that has the authority to take care of my situation. The other day, this just happened. I don't know. It's been a couple weeks ago. My wife, and I don't even know all the legits of it. You're just going to get the very bare bone story here. My wife called this, I think it was a credit card company deal. She called, needed something done. And they, you know, the lady at the deals said, yeah, just call this number and this is, they can do this. She's like, okay. She calls the number. The lady said, I can't do that. She said, well, my wife said, well, you know, they just told me you could. She said, no, I can't do that. She said, well, let me talk to your supervisor. Talk to that supervisor. That supervisor said, no, I can't do that. My wife said, well, let me talk to your supervisor. And I don't know how many times you went up, but they all kept saying, I can't do that, I can't do that. Finally, my wife got a hold of somebody that had enough authority. And she said, I need this taken care of. And the lady said, no problem. We'll get it taken care of. You see, she had the authority to press the right buttons and do the right thing. What are you saying? I'm telling you tonight, you've come to the right place. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has the authority to take care of your situation. The Bible says his kingdom ruleth over all. Hallelujah. He has the authority. You understand that our Constitution only works in America. It does not work in Canada. It does not work in Africa. It does not work in Asia. It only works here. Why? Because this is where we have jurisdiction. Can I remind you that he has jurisdiction over everything? I said over everything. He has jurisdiction. His kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom rules over all. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible said he is king over all. There's that word. All. Let me give you a Hebrew lesson. All the earth. He's king over. He's got jurisdiction. I see him one day. John chapter 11. Well, let me back up. Quickly, let me tell you a story. We one year we were out in New York City area preaching youth camp. On the way to youth camp, we had to stop in Pennsylvania to pick up some kids, take them to youth camp. We stopped by, and at the time I didn't have my bus. At the time I had a 40-foot fifth wheel and truck I was pulling. But how many of you don't park 40-foot fifth wheels anywhere? You gotta, you know. And you don't turn around just anywhere, you know. But we were supposed to pick these kids up, and you know, it's city. And the guy I talked to, he said, well, you just get off right here, and there's this big parking lot. You can park there, and I'll come down, and I'll pick you up. We'll take you to the house. We'll have lunch, and you can have the kids. You can go on to youth camp. I said, sounds good. So I pull off just like he told me, and I went down to that corner. Sure enough, huge, big parking lot. Nothing in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, yeah. Nothing in the parking lot but a whole bunch of big signs says, don't park here. Parkers here will be shot. You know, well, they didn't say shot, but I mean, you're going to be towed away and violated, and you did. I mean, and not just these little no park. I mean, they got these big ones. So I pulled in there, and I just said, I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? And they came down, and he goes, oh, yeah, this would be good. You can leave right here. I said, you know, and I just kind of pointed at the signs. He goes, no problem. He just reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a little card, and he puts it up on my dashboard, and he said, you'll be fine. Shuts the door and we went on. You see, he was the head supervising agent of that entire area, FBI. And so he just stuck his little card up there and said,
Don't worry about it. I've got the authority. I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Woohoo. I've still got that card and I'll sell it for it. No. But what he was saying is, listen, he had the authority to take care of the situation. He had the authority, and they knew he had the authority. What are you saying? I'm telling you tonight, he's got the authority. Hallelujah. And here's his card. Hallelujah. I said he's got the authority, and here's his card. Glory to God and the Lamb forevermore. The disciples one day were on a ship. I haven't got time to go the whole story. The Bible said they get on the ship. They're heading to the other side. The storm comes up. And the Bible said they're rowing and reeling and boats filling with water. And finally they go to the back of the boat. They said, Master, Master, carest thou not? We perish. And he gets up. I can almost see him shaking his head because he says, oh, you have little faith. So I can just see him. Oh, you have little faith. He walks to the front of the boat. He says, peace, be still. The Bible said there was a great calm. Peter falls down and says, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Oh, Peter, let me answer your question. It's the King. It's the King. He's King over all the earth. And when he speaks, even the wind and the waves have to obey. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, he's got authority. He's got jurisdiction. John chapter 11 tells us the story. You know the story. Jesus gets word, Lazarus, my love is sick. Come and heal him. He waits 2 days. Then makes a 2-day journey. By man's time clock, he winds up 4 days late. He comes to the city. He's on the way in. Sister meets him on the way out and says, Lord, if you'd been here 4 days ago, my brother hadn't died. He said, Lord, he's going to live again. He said, Lord, I know he's going to live again. The resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. I'm going to go a short time to get there. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Bible said they take him to the place where he's buried. Jesus weeps, and then he says, roll away the stone. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Nevertheless, at his word, they rolled away the stone. The Bible said, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I've preached on this. I've used it, pastor, for illustrations, but I'd never seen this until, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. The Bible said, here he comes. He's hopping out because he's still bound in grave clothes. He comes hopping out. And they said, loose him and set him free. But you realize, I've never seen this, but did you realize that when he said, Lazarus, come forth, the grave didn't try to hold him. The big stone didn't try to roll back over the hole to keep him in. Death couldn't hell, all the demons in hell, they couldn't hold him back. As a matter of fact, they didn't even try. Why? Because when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody knew that's the King. And when the King speaks, I must listen and I must obey. Hallelujah. He has the authority. I got to close. Not only is he able to help you, and not only does he have the authority to help you, the Word of God put it like this. He said, I will help thee. I will help thee. Hallelujah. 2014, you know what God's saying? I will help thee. Hallelujah. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know the storms that lie. I will help thee. Yeah, but the price, I will help thee. Yeah, but the debt, I will help thee. Yeah, but I will help thee. That's what God says to us. I will. I will. I will. I will. I like that. I will. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. God wants to help you. The Bible says concerning Uzziah, there's a great phrase there. It's only used one time in the Word of God and it's used concerning Uzziah. It says of Uzziah that he was marvelously helped. How many know God tonight wants to marvelously help some folks? On this last night of 2013, God wants to marvelously help some folks. In 2014, God wants to marvelously help some folks. He said, I will. We've been evangelists we're halfway through our 19th year, is that right? Halfway through our 19th year, full-time evangelists. And I've been in a lot of churches, preached a lot of revivals. You know what I see a lot in churches is that during revival, or special services, sometimes just like this, sometimes just in ordinary services, folks get... It's terrible, but they get shovel disease. It plagues the Pentecostal church today. Shovel disease. You're like, shovel? Yes. It's a plague. It's terrible. Shovel disease. What's that, preacher? That's when the preacher's preaching. And they sit there and say, that's good preaching, brother. But you know what, Sister Jones? She needs a big shovel full of that. You know what that was? That was for Brother Johnson. Praise God.
does he need a shovel full of that? Amen. Huh? We're shoveling it back to everybody else. You think that preacher's preaching to everybody else? You think he's talking to everybody else? You think he's got everybody else's mail but yours? Amen. Well, just to let you know, I've just come to put an end to your shovel disease. I'm not talking to Sister Jones and Brother Papufnik. I'm talking to you tonight. Just to help you, I want to read this text again. I want to emphasize a few things, if I might. The Bible said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, any man of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer." Thee, thy. God's talking to you. God says, I want to help you tonight. I didn't come just to help Brother Papufnik and Sister Jones. I hope there's not a Sister Jones here. But anyway, everybody started, oh no. But you understand, God said, I'm talking to you. Tonight God's talking to you. He says, I want to help you. I want to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close. I will help thee. Almost 19 years ago, it'll be 19 years in June, we went full-time as evangelists. And the first year we lived in a pickup truck, just a two-door. It did have the extra cab behind it, but just a two-door extra cab pickup truck with a camper shell. And we lived in that. My wife and my one-year-old daughter, she was 1 year old at the time, they slept in that extra. I had a foam deal I stuck back there, and they slept in that extra cab part, and I slept under the steering wheel. And, you know, you've got one right down here. You know, you ever been to
shower number 147 is now ready.
You know, done that, you know. Have you ever been in the rest areas and seen them crazy nuts washing their hair in the rest area sinks? Done that, you know. At first year, we lived in that truck, but then the Lord blessed our second year out. We were having, my wife was expecting our second child, my boy, and so the Lord blessed us. We were able to get a Suburban and a travel trailer, and we had that for 3.5 years, and then we outgrew that, and then after that, the Lord blessed. We now live in a bus, but before that, we had a 40-foot fifth wheel, and we had a Ford truck. It was a Ford F-550, 1999 Ford F-550. The truck alone weighed 10,000 pounds, just the truck. On the scales, it was F-550 7.3 turbocharged intercooled four-wheel drive pulling machine. Truck and trailer, I was 29,000 and some change on the scale. And I pulled that rig 180,000 miles before we sold the truck. And it was a wonderful pulling machine. That Ford, it was the old fashioned, had the four wheel drive down here, and you could drop that thing in four low, and it had manual hubs, which was great when you have a trailer, because that means you didn't have to lock the hubs in, but you can put it in four low, cut the ratio to the transmission. Ladies, I know you may not get this, but us guys, this is just like down our alley, and you had a real granny low, and it was great for backing stuff up, and you know, and you'd put that thing in granny low, and just like. And I loved, what I really liked to do was I loved to pull people out. When folks got stuck, man, I loved going up and pulling them out. Man, I'd go up, I'd hook up to them, hook my strap up to them. And how I'd pull folks out is I'd put that thing down in four low. I wouldn't even lock the hubs in. And I would pull people out of ditches and snow and all that kind of stuff. And I'd never even use the accelerator. I just let off the brake, and that thing would just go. I mean, it'd pull a house. I mean, it just was a pulling machine. Now, I didn't look in the parking lot, and just, you know, please forgive me, but I especially like pulling folks out when the other trucks couldn't. But anyway, no. but one day, my boy and I, we were in northern Indiana. We were going into southern Michigan, and it was a fall day. It was kind of a rainy, misty, kind of rainy, wet. It had been raining, and roads were wet, and fall day, and we were coming around a corner, and as we were approaching this corner, it was a 45-mile-an-hour corner, I noticed that out in the field was this little bitty, tiny, small, minuscule, dinky little truck. And he was out in the field. And I could tell what had happened. He had a trailer that the trailer alone was 10 times too big for his truck. And then he piled it like Brother Deathridge would pile a trailer with 10 times too, don't tell him I said that, too much junk on it for that. And what happened was he came around that 45 mile an hour corner. He couldn't hold it. And he's out in the field. Well, it's been raining. He's stuck. It's muddy. He's stuck. Well, he had another friend that had the same size truck as he had. And he was going to come pull him out. The only problem is now they're both stuck. And I drive by and I see that, man, they're out there, they're shoveling, they're both, I mean, they're to the axles, and they're, and I'm thinking, they're never getting out. And I drive by and I see that, I'm thinking, those boys need help. And I thought, well, I'll just go turn around. And so in my mind, I've got it all figured out. I'm figuring it out as I'm turning around. I'm thinking, okay, no problem. I've got enough strap. I can stay on the pavement with good traction, and I can reach the first truck with my strap. And I'll chain the first truck to the second truck, and I'll leave the trailer on the second truck, and I'll pull all three of them out at one time. Yes! And it'll make a great preacher and illustration, you know. I mean, I had it figured out. And so I come pulling around there. I stop. I get out. My boy and I, he's small. Then we get out of the truck. We go hopping down there and say, hey, man, we've come to pull you out. You know what? They got mad. I said, no, we come just to help you pull you out. I'm not going to charge you. Just going to help you. I didn't say it. I just thought it. Fine. Stay there. No, I repented later. Because, you know, I'm thinking, you're not getting out. Those trucks, you're not going to get out. The only way you're getting out is you're calling a tow truck. You're paying $700, and I was going to do it for free. You see, the problem is, I came, I had the ability to help them. That was nothing. I pulled 29,000 pounds all day long. Those two trucks and trailers, nothing. I had the ability to do it. I had the authority to do it. It was my truck. And I was willing. I turned around. They didn't flag me down. I willingly came and said, man, I've come to help you. The problem is, they wouldn't admit they needed help. You see, the problem is they wouldn't admit they needed help. You see, there's a lot of folks today, God's able. God has the authority. He's God. And he's willing. He's come tonight to help. But there's a lot of folks going to leave without help. Churches, not just tonight, but other churches going to leave simply because they won't admit, God, I need help. God, I need help. You know what God's looking for tonight? He's looking for some folks that says, Lord, I need your help. God, I need your help. God, I can't even make another day without your help. I can't make it through 2014. I can't even make it through the rest of 2013 without your help. God, I need your help. And can I tell you, if you'll come to God and say, God, I need your help, you know what his response is? I will help thee. I will help thee. God said, I'll help you. What you've got to do is just admit, God, I need your help. Come on, you two. I need your help. Tonight, God's come to help you. I said, God's come to help you. What we need to do is just admit, saying, God, I need your help.